Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you are talking plainly and not in any figure of speech. Now we realize that you know everything and that you do not need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "You believe now? Behold, the hour is coming and has arrived when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. But I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you this so that you might have peace in me. In the world you will have trouble, but take courage. I have conquered the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There's truly a dramatic dialogue happening between Jesus and the apostles in today's Gospel, taken, as we know, from the Last Supper. The disciples said to Jesus, "Now you're talking plainly and not in any figure of speech, not in any parables. Now we realize that you know everything and have no need to have anyone question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." This is a direct response, almost parroting back what Jesus had said in this immediately preceding section of the Gospel, which we had heard on Saturday, when Jesus said that, "I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech." And then he told them very plainly, "The Father loves you. And I came from the Father and have come into the world, and I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Short, indicative sentences with no analogous thinking for these fishermen and tax collectors to do. Jesus was telling it to them plainly, and they echoed it back, "Now we believe." And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe now?" And then he prophesied yet again that the hour had arrived when each of them would apostatize, when each of them would be scattered to his own home, leaving Jesus alone, and even swearing an oath, saying, "I do not even know the man." They didn't really believe yet, because faith is more than just an assent to some intellectual truths. Faith is really a total entrusting of oneself to someone, and based on that trust in someone, a trust in what the person says and does. And Jesus knew that their notion of faith was really quite shallow, and it wouldn't prove faithful when the going would get tough in just an hour or two. But then Jesus continued in this dialogue, "I've told you this so that you might have peace in me." Told them not only that the Father loves them, that he loves them, that he was leaving the world, but that he was going to come back. He was not just telling them that. He was telling them that they were going to scatter in order that they might have peace in him. Peace that would come, that Jesus didn't stop loving them, that the Father didn't stop loving them when they didn't really back up their faith and deeds. To have peace, peace in his mercy, peace even while they saw him struggling, peace like the peace of our Blessed Mother standing at the foot of the cross. As much as her heart was being pierced by swords, the pain of seeing her child massacred by those he had come to save, she still was firmly resting in all that God had said and done, that it was here that, as the archangel had prophesied, he was taking the throne of David his father, and of his kingdom there would be no end. Then Jesus said something I think highly significant. In this world you will have trouble. And he didn't say except you. No exception. In this world you will have trouble. But take courage. I have conquered the world. Now, sometimes when we hear that expression, I have conquered the world, we can say, in the light of the resurrection, yes, you have conquered the world, Jesus. But Jesus was saying this prior to the resurrection. He was saying this after people had tried to run him out of Nazareth, throwing him to his death off the precipice in which Nazareth had been killed. He was saying this even after many of his disciples had abandoned him over the Eucharist. He had said this at the very time in which the Sanhedrin was conspiring in order to have him murdered. I have conquered the world. There's an aorist tense there, which means I am conquering. I have been conquering the world. He'd been conquering the world from his incarnation. He'd been conquering the world and the spirit of worldliness. And the example Jesus was showing of poverty, chastity, obedience, patience, meekness, of giving a face to the Beatitudes. He was conquering the world in it all. And he would be conquering the world most, as to the eyes of the world, it seemed that he was most being vanquished. Take courage. I am conquering the world, and have been, Jesus is saying here. It's when we recognize how the Lord conquers that we can have faith in the midst of the troubles that will definitely come. We can think Jesus is losing when it seems, as based on the Pew survey last week, that there are more people wandering away from the faith than coming to the faith in the United States of America. We can think that Jesus is losing rather than winning because of our weaknesses that are all too conspicuous to us and to others. We can think that we're losing when we have to beat our breasts at the beginning of every Mass and mean it, that by our own most grievous fault we have greatly sinned. But it's at those times when we're weak that we recognize the strength of the Lord, that we're sinners, that we recognize peace in His mercy. When people are wandering, that Jesus' great victory of transforming hearts, not to let them wander and be lost forever, is really coming to the surface. That on the one hand it seems that things are going poorly, but at the very same time, the seeds of the response rising. This leads us to how God does this. Does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll sing throughout this decenarium, Virtute Firmans Virpiti, strengthening with perpetual power. It's the power that allows us to take courage, that gift of the Holy Spirit, who is courage, who helps us. Yes, Jesus was telling them to take courage, and it was almost to take the Holy Spirit within, that the Father and I will send you. It's that would help them to live by what they were assenting to intellectually, by remaining faithful in action. I've already pondered last Wednesday a little bit of this scene in Ephesus when Paul met those 12 men. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? You've never even known that there is a Holy Spirit. They've been baptized by the baptism of John, which is just a baptism signifying their need for repentance, but it wasn't a sacrament that could actually deliver on the forgiveness that baptism said that they needed. That would come when Jesus would establish baptism of the Holy Spirit and of fire. Today, as we solemnly mark the anniversary of Sister Anastasia's baptism, we recall also with gratitude the gift of our own. And the Holy Spirit, with fire, purified us within and made it possible for us to share totally in the Lord's victory. so that we would be able to have courage no matter how many troubles are thrown us. We do know that there is a Holy Spirit, but a lot of the times we don't know the virtute firmans per peti, the way the Holy Spirit wants to strengthen us with His unending power, so that we might be able to unite ourselves even in worldly defeat to the Lord's eternal victory. They themselves received the power of the Holy Spirit by the laying on of St. Paul's hands. 12 men, could have been 11, could have been 116. Why 12? Because it was, in essence, sending out another 12 by the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to carry on this work of witness to the Lord's eternal victory. Do we announce that victory? Do we feel that we are on the winning side? Do we recognize that Christ has conquered the world in us and that He wants to send us out, united to Him, the strong man, or the stronger man, to bind the strong man and divide his spoils? The one who is the prince of the world, the one whom we pray, St. Michael, at the end of every Mass, will help us defeat. Once we begin to recognize that we have shared in this victory that cannot be robbed from us, then we're able to live precisely with that peace and joy that Jesus wants all His disciples to emanate. Today, as we come forward here on this fifth day of the Decennium, we turn to the Lord, in whom we have our peace. We ask Him with the Father to send that Holy Spirit to convince us of that victory, to give us that gift of knowledge so that we never forget it, understanding so that we can appreciate how we're winning even when it seems that we're losing, so that we might, having been filled with this Holy Spirit, become the new 12, going out into Manhattan and inviting everyone with us to enter the eternal hall of fame. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.